That okay? Wonderful. Can you hear? Great. Well, it's a delight to be with you, and particularly to be here with Simon and Amy at your commissioning. And it's, in a sense, lots of new beginnings. It's the beginning of ministry for them, but also the beginning of a new series, a new teaching series here at Alma. And it's a series on the kingdom of God. And it's a joy to be speaking on such a remarkable subject. And particularly your title for me today is The King and I. How do we relate to that kingdom of God? Often we'll pray those words of the Lord's Prayer, won't we? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First question, where is the kingdom of God? Is it earth or heaven? Well, it's certainly heaven is a place where God rules, God reigns, his will is done, and so evidently it's a place of his kingdom. But what about earth? And we look at our earth with so much by way of that conflict of good and evil, of light and darkness, so much around us, and we think, well, where is God's kingdom? What do we mean by God's kingdom? Well, we do see God's kingdom on earth, and Jesus constantly was preaching and declaring the kingdom of God. Wherever we see the rule of Jesus in our lives, in our family, in our homes, in our workplaces, around us, wherever his rule is felt, then we're catching a glimpse of the kingdom of God. They may say, well, I don't see too much of it, Rob, and there's a bit of a challenge, and that's the tension. It's what we would often call the now and not yet of the kingdom. The not yet is when one day, the whole earth will be full of the glory of the Lord. There'd be that sense in which he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his rule will be so evident. There'll be no more tears, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain. And that'll be the kingdom of God real among us. But what about now? And this tension between the now and not yet of the kingdom. The Bible actually speaks about us tasting of the age to come now. We actually can taste of the age to come now, at that time when there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. And wherever we see God breaking through in our world, in healing and deliverance, in release in people's lives and setting people free, whenever we see people coming into the kingdom of God, we catch a glimpse of that kingdom. But that's a real tension at times. Even the whole air of praying for healing or for deliverance, and when it doesn't seem to happen just quite we'd hoped it would happen, or took much longer than we expected, and we're in a kind of tension because we think surely God is able to do this, and one day there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. But it's a not yet at the kingdom that we're living in, where we're not seeing the full expression of that. And even some of the most amazing breakthroughs of that kingdom, even in Jesus' ministry, you might think, well, Lazarus, raised from the dead. Yes, but you know what? Lazarus died eventually because he was part still of this, not yet the fulfillment of that kingdom in all its fullness. And so we carry these tensions of where we're catching glimpses of that kingdom. We want to press into it more and more. That's why we pray and need to ask for it. Your kingdom come, Lord, now on earth as it is in heaven. I want the now as well as the not yet. I want more of it. I want to keep sensing and have faith to pray for that breakthrough, to see more of the kingdom of God. And yet I'm conscious I'm living in an age of the not yet. And Jesus once handled it in a parable he told of someone rather mischievously at night sowing loads of weeds in a person's garden, and when they woke up in the morning, his weeds growing everywhere, as it were. And it's this picture of taking up the weeds, and the kind of, why doesn't God take all the weeds out of our world now? He said, well, God will do that one day, but if he did it now, that would be the end of the age. So we're still living in this tension. What we want to see is more of that kingdom. That's why we keep praying, Lord, more of your kingdom. We want to see more of that power of God. We want to taste more of it. And often the taste depends on the appetite. We'll taste more of that age to come, depending sometimes how real our expectation is and looking for that and that release of God's purposes. What does it look like, the kingdom of God? And that's what our first of our readings was about, where the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were saying, well, when is this kingdom going to come? And Jesus says, how are you going to measure that? How are you going to recognize it? Is it just external observations that you do? How do we see the kingdom? What does it look like? I mean, we live in the United Kingdom, and usually if it's the Royal Mail or something else, you know it's Royal Mail because it's got the Queen's head stamped on it or some kind of. So what is the kingdom? Will it be a big cross somewhere and you see, yeah, that must be kingdom? Jesus says, no, it's not like that. It's not about a kingdom that we can observe in the same sense of human externals like we often think of kingdom. It's a very current issue, isn't it? The United Kingdom, borders, border control, whether we're in or out, and how do you recognize it? This is a kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? Does it start in John O'Groats and end down in God? Where's the kingdom of God? What's the boundaries of it? Jesus says, no, it's not about those external observations. The kingdom of God is within you. It begins within us. So does that mean we can't see it? Oh, yeah, you do see it, but not in the same way as you'd look for external boundaries and mark it out and say, that's the kingdom. He says, it's like this. And Jesus tells him, has this amazing way of taking just things from common life and illustrate. He says, it's a bit like this, he says. It's like the wind. You know, you hear the sound of it, but you can't see it. Was that wind? But you see its effect, its influence, its impact. Just like on a windy day when the trees and the branches are moving or leaves are blowing around and you can't see the wind, but what you see is the effect of the wind. So he said it is with everyone who's born of the Holy Spirit. You can see the effect, the influence, the impact. So on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit's poured out, what happens? There's a mighty rushing wind. There's tongues of fire. There's a sense of, but God's Spirit's at work. So it is, says Jesus, everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. So when you ask the question, well, this kingdom, it's not got boundaries in terms of external borders. And so how do you get into it? How do you enter it? Jesus, that's what it's about. In the same passage where he's talking about the wind, he says, just like this. So is everyone who's born of the Holy Spirit. In fact, to enter the kingdom of God, you cannot enter this kingdom unless you're born again of the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you mean, says the questioning observer? You mean entering my mother's womb again? No, you can't be born. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You know, a human being gives birth to a human being. A rabbit gives birth to a rabbit. A chicken gives birth to a chicken. Well, but how does this come? The Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit. So all of us are body, mind, and spirit. There's a part of our being, which is that spiritual dimension. But he says, by nature, that is dead. Not dead in the sense it doesn't exist, but a bit like, you know, you cross your arms like some of you got here, or cross your legs long enough and your leg goes dead. What, is it dropped off? No. It's just lost its feeling, lost its sensitivity, lost its life. But you uncross them and get the blood flowing and suddenly it comes alive. And so everyone who's born of the Holy Spirit, it's like the pins and needles of the Holy Spirit bringing alive a part of my being. And Jesus explains that new life in Jesus, being born of the Holy Spirit, is the way we enter this kingdom. And it's wonderful to see that happen in people's lives. That sense of where people enter the kingdom of God. And not just seeing people happen with people, but see people longing to see that happen. There may be someone here today and you're not yet part of that kingdom. You're asking the question, well, how do I need to get a passport? How do I enter the kingdom? Or some of you pray maybe for someone in your family or a neighbor or a colleague and you long to see them enter the kingdom of God. I always feel it's wonderful when you hear people praying like that. Just some months ago, I had a dear old couple at Uddi's, and they were praying particularly, it was in the autumn, and a relative of theirs, almost a criminal like a grandchild, was coming up to university here at Bristol Business Studies, and they asked if we'd pray with them for this relative, that when she was here in Bristol, because she was miles away from God, that she might just somehow come into contact with the kingdom of God. And the same day, another family, in fact, we've got a church plant just happening over at Brentry, and a family there was sharing of a son of theirs, now a young adult, and longing to see him enter the kingdom, but miles away and rebellious. In fact, had just abruptly left home so suddenly that they'd even informed the police as a missing person and were desperately trying to find him. Who are you praying for? Who do you long to see enter that kingdom of God? Just recently in Alpha, Alpha's often a great opportunity of exploring what it means, the kingdom of God, and how we enter it. And I was speaking on one of the sessions of the Alpha of how can we be sure of faith, the whole experience of faith. And we're sharing what that means. It's like almost a sixth sense at times, but it gives us the potential of reaching out, of entering that kingdom. And as I'd shared a little bit again, as we've thought around communion here, of how Jesus is the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. What it means by faith to reach out, to experience the Holy Spirit, bring to birth with that new life. But how do you actually do that? And we often use a little Alpha Leap called Why Jesus. There's something back here today. And there's a little prayer in the back of it. It just takes that little step of faith of where we say, oh God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. That simple step of faith. And as I shared that in this Alpha, there were maybe over 100 people there from all sorts of different backgrounds, and some who'd just seen it on the back of a bus and or picked it up on the website. And we often just encourage folk, and I just read that prayer and said, anybody here, you know, really at that stage, just a bit of prayer. But this time, and I don't usually do this necessarily at Alpha because the small groups are a chance, but I said, I felt such a kind of moving of the Holy Spirit touching people. I felt the King of God was really near, and I said, as I prayed that prayer, I'd love just any of you here that have prayed that prayer with me just to indicate. And there were a number of people in the room who just indicated that evening they prayed that prayer. We're about to break into groups. There's small groups that happen, discussion groups and a little coffee break. And so there was a young lady just here, second in the row, first row at the front, just second along. And I managed to catch her and I said, hi, I said, it's great to see the way she said this. That's the first time in my life I've ever really heard that and done that. I said, that's wonderful. And what's brought you to Bristol? Oh, she said, I've come as a student here. I said, really? Yeah, she just started. She said, in fact, I got a relative here. He's not quite my granddad, but this is the young lady that dear couple have been praying for. I then went to the little table in the middle. There was a coffee being served. And I said hello to a young fellow there and said, hi. I said, it was great to see you responding tonight. And he said, yeah. He said, thank you. He said, I've been a bit of a wilderness. He said, I brought up in a Christian home, but he said, I'm miles away from it all. He says, I want to come somewhere a bit anonymous, so I found her on the website, and I came along today. He said, but I really felt something stirred in me today. I said, is this the first time? He said, no, I brought up in a Christian family. He said, my parents would be shocked to know I'm here. He said, I left home abruptly some months ago, he said, and they're still trying to find me. This was a young man. Isn't it amazing? People praying and sensing, but that work of God's Holy Spirit in our world, drawing people to Jesus, and the transformation that comes. That's what Jesus said, you see. So he begins his earthly ministry just like we prayed for Simon today, and just as God has called Simon and Amy and brought them here, what we're praying is that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will rest upon them. That's what Jesus, as he took that scroll in the synagogue, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him to preach good news, to bring freedom, to bring release to those who are oppressed. There's something of the kingdom of God that brings that release and power. We long to see that more and more happening. And one of the things we feel stirred this year is even that kind of almost prophetic word about infectious discipleship, where things are sometimes caught rather than taught, where wind and fire of the Spirit come together and it's wildfire. You sense something of that. You know, I pray every day for Alma here. Do you know one of the prayers I pray? I pray that scripture that David shared at the end of last week. I pray, Lord, today, help us to know what it is to be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just because it's just we think sometimes we ought to, but because it is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus to keep ablaze that fire of the Spirit. That wildfire. And it's that infectious discipleship that we long to sense. And as we see the Holy Spirit doing that, the kingdom of God, the King and I, you know, we're just celebrating now with the Queen's 90th birthday and all the celebrations. Some of you may have seen that remarkable publication that Bible Society and LIC and others have published. I trust you've got some even around, but you can get it free on the Bible Society website. The forward is from the Queen, and she actually endorses it, and it's taken from many of her speeches, but the title is The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. It's about the kingdom of God and that real sense of inviting God by His Spirit into our lives to experience that kingdom. Just recently here in Bristol, we've had a number of elections. We had the mayoral elections, and I don't know what you may have voted or what party you may represent, but it's interesting and exciting to feel the person who became mayor is a Christian. Just after he became mayor, he invited a small group of us as church leaders to pray with him. It was late at night, it was 10 o'clock at night, and we gathered around praying for him and thanking God for him. And then he'd said this consistently before he became mayor. He said, there's one thing I wanted to do if I was ever to become mayor. This is the one thing I want to do. You know, mayors have special privileges. They could invite the Prime Minister to come to Bristol. They could invite the Queen to come to Bristol. He said, what I've always wanted to do is if ever I became mayor was to gather some leaders together, and as I pray, to invite the Holy Spirit into this city. To feel I'm opening the gates as the mayor to say, come, Holy Spirit. And we did that. We stood together and prayed. And to hear, this is the new praying, come, Holy Spirit, into this city. to see more of the kingdom of God, that release of God's kingdom. It's about the King and I. It's not just seeing what Jesus did, but what he longs to do in us and through us. You know, God longs to release his purpose in our lives. One of the amazing things is the more we grasp the truth about the kingdom, one of the first thing it does, it stirs us in worship. It's when we recognize him as king and crown him as king. That's the essence of worship, is making Jesus Lord of our lives. There's some wonderful pictures in scripture. In Isaiah 6, it has this picture. It says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on a throne. I see him as king. The whole place is filled with the glory of the Lord and heavenly beings crying, holy, holy, holy. And there's this amazing picture of the kingdom of God. God on his throne and us worshiping him. And then it says, but I heard a voice speaking to me. You know, this is a remarkable truth that comes from scripture. The closer we are to the heart of God and the throne of God in worship, the clearer we will hear the voice of God in his call upon our lives. I heard a voice saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Let me just take this moment, just even here, because sometimes we say, but Rob, I want to know God's kingdom, but how do I know God's will when I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done? How do I know God's will for my life? Maybe struggling with guidance and direction, decision we've got to make. How do I know God's will? How does God direct us? Well, firstly, we recognize that scripture, and we've mentioned it several times in part of the life of the church here and in all its teaching and day, is that scripture is the base of authority for all life and practice. That's how God leads us. We call it the word of God. God speaks to us. But how does God speak to us through his word? I want to just take these two ingredients that are so key in church life for Simon and Amy and their ministry here. Firstly, is the deposited word of God, that deposited truth that is universal in its application to all believers for all times in all generations. So here's a truth from Isaiah 6 that applies to all believers for all time. The closer you are to the heart of God, the throne of God in worship, the clearer you'll hear the voice of God. That's deposited truth. We want to teach it, unfold it. But alongside deposited truth is what we might call prophetic truth. How does prophecy work today? How does God speak to us today? And that's a very vulnerable area. You think, well, we've got the word of God, the Bible. It's the complete canon of scripture. God has spoken his last days. We've got God's final word. What do you mean, speak today through prophecy? Yep. God speaks to us today, prophetically. What God will often do is he will take the deposited word of truth and bring it alive as a now word, a wow word. Now that now word and wow word is limited in its circumstances and context. It may be a personal word. It won't have the same universal application in terms of the way God's applying it as a wow, now word. So let me take that very scripture. I'm sure I shared a little bit of this story before for some of you, but Isaiah 6. Many, many, many years ago, I can remember sat on an old park bench up in Blaise. It was when God first called me to live over the gospel. I was looking out over a huge housing estate of red tiled rooftops. I was reading, I had a little green text, little green journal. I used to note down my little meditations. And as I'm sat here reading and looking over these red tiled roofs, I felt as clear as if someone sat next to me. These words of Isaiah 6. Who shall I send? Who'll go for us? Now, I knew the deposited truth. The closer we are to the heart of God, the clearer we hear the voice of God. I know it's the truth, and therefore I ought to be available. But this was now a now word. This is me sat on this bench looking over this council housing estate and sensing God saying to me now, in this set of circumstances, at this time, a prophetic word speaking to me to say, wow, this is God's call on my life. Now, what I cannot do with a personal prophetic word is make it a universal application. If you were walking your dog that day up in Blaise past me, and I say, oh, you go to Alma, don't you? Sit here a minute. See this estate? God's calling you to this. What do you mean calling me to this estate? No. That was a now word, a wow word, a prophetic word to me in the light of that deposited truth of Scripture. So we need to sense how as we unfold deposited truth, we're constantly aware of those promptings of the Spirit, taking a deposited truth and making a now word. So for us today, in a sense, in the light of the kingdom of God, what God may be saying to us specifically and personally about his kingdom, about the King and I. Not only that sense of ministry, the closer we are to that throne of God, the clearer that call of God for all of us. Not just for Simon and Amy, what makes their life and ministry effective is the extent to which we all as a body sense that call of God and those stirrings of God. Let's not feel it's calling them to delegate to them all that needs to be done. It's for them to be delegating to us what needs to be done and drawing out those gifts and ministries. It's great just recently to have the men's weekend of Alma looking at gifts and ministries, how we're releasing those gifts and ministries. But also, for many of us here today who may be struggling in our lives with issues that we're facing, and maybe health issues, it may be financial issues, it may be relationships that are broken down, it may be just anxiety. Even last night, you just find it so difficult. You have those panic attacks and you feel the weakness of human flesh at times. You really struggle in so many needs in your life. And you think, Rob, I don't want a trumpet call about how I go and do really. So I just need God's grace and help. But you know, it's the same throne. See, when we think of kings sometimes or queens, thrones seem very unapproachable places. I mean, in the Old Testament, there's even a story with Esther. Unless the king invited you in, you're put to death if you came in uninvited, you know. Talk about approach. But this throne of God, this kingdom of God, this king and I, he's completely approachable and accessible. That approachability is not some presumption of human right as if I've got access. No, it's when we come humbly, simply recognizing nothing in my hands I bring, simply to that cross I cling. But here's the truth of Scripture. Let us draw near to approach that throne of grace with confidence. Not just cringing, with confidence. Why? Because it's at that throne of God, that King of God, that you will find mercy and grace to help you at your point of need. So for all of us this morning, my prayer is that maybe something afresh as we've prayed over Simon and Amy, for that fresh commissioning, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord to be upon them, that for all of us, there may be an openness to that. It would be wonderful. We used to have a chance for prayer and ministry afterwards. There may be some here who just feel you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to release those gifts of God, that service and ministry. For some of you may feel, Rob, I'm so tired. I can't think of doing any. Well, come to this throne of grace today afresh. Find a renewed confidence to approach, to find mercy and grace to help you today at your point of need. Father, we pray now that you would come by your Spirit. And as we take a few moments in further worship, draw us to that throne, Lord, where we see you high and lifted up. Lord, give us confidence to find grace and mercy to help us at our point of need, to know the reality of that relationship of the King and I. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our worship group are going to come and just further lead us. Thank you. If afterwards, when there's an opportunity of prayer ministry, that little Why Jesus book, that there are some around, so do, if you'd like someone to pray with you and share that prayer, there's some of those there too.
Let's stand and put those words into practice as we approach the throne of God in worship. Let's just have a couple of minutes maybe just to ready our hearts, to still our hearts. Just a reminder of a couple of things that have come to us as a church recently. That dream of Jacob, the angels going up and down the ladder to heaven, and Jacob's sense of that God had been there all the time, even though he hadn't known it. We recognize, Father, that you've been here all the time. We want our worship to go up to your throne, and we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit down.
Close.
who drinks the water, this water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Here and or others that you are confident with, and just ask them to pray with you. It may well be that you just desire this morning for more of the Holy Spirit, that he might fill you to overflowing with all that he is and all that he has. It's a wonderful opportunity in the midst of worship to be able to do that. So we just invite you, just come Holy Spirit, just come fill us, we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Oh, give life.
You give life.
Thank you.
trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great.
How great is our God.